will do the talking.
Hello, hello, and welcome to We'll Do the Talking, the podcast where Anastasia and I will dive into the everyday struggles of modern life. From work and relationships to mental health, we unpack it all in a world that never stops moving. And our goal? To make you feel less alone and more connected through real, relatable conversations. So let's talk.
This podcast was created with the idea of an intimate, genuine, and friendly heart-to-heart conversation between two people where we can chat about everything as friends. My name is Anastasia, same as Nastya. I was born in Minsk, Belarus. I'm a clinical pharmacist who has experience working in medical areas in four different countries. At the age of 19, I moved for the first time to Poland. There I was studying in a medical school and stayed for a brief couple of years during COVID. 2.5 years ago, I moved to the UK for work, and now I'm recording from a tiny town in Surrey.
And my name is Nastya, and I'm originally from Minsk as well, and have lived there for 17 years. I'm a PR and communications professional, having worked across different areas of marketing, branding, events, or media, and in four different countries. 17, I moved to the UK to study and stayed there and worked for 7 years. And 3 years ago, I moved to Warsaw, Poland, where the idea of this podcast originated.
Maintaining friendships through years is not an easy task, especially when distance is trying to separate you, not just physically, but also emotionally.
In this episode, we're exploring what it really means to stay connected through distance, what changes, what stays the same, and why some bonds only get stronger with distance.
So let's first start with maybe our friendship story and how it all started, ended, and started again.
Yeah, the story deserves a special place in this podcast. Well, it all started ages ago when we were just little kids. I was probably like around 7 and you were slightly older, maybe a year or two. And we went to an English school together. Basically, we had classes together a couple of times per week. So that's where we initially learned about each other. Can't really say that we were really close. But I definitely remember that we were playing together sometimes, we were talking to each other. So yeah, I guess that's where we started our friendship. It lasted for a little while until you moved to the UK, when you've graduated school, basically.
Yeah.
At that point, we lost touch for a while.
Yeah, and then years later, after we all finished unis, moved on with our lives and started working and, you know, moved a couple of times. For me, that was quite a few. It was my third move, I think, at that point, or fourth. It was fourth move, actually. Yeah, we met just in the middle of Warsaw by complete accident. And honestly, I had this kind of a internal feeling, a gut feeling, to go explore in this area, because I didn't, at that point, I just moved, so I didn't know the city that well, and I just wanted to go and, you know, see that area that I liked a lot, because I liked the buildings in that area, etc. All of a sudden, I was just walking on the streets and saw you. Yeah, just leaving the corner shop with your friend.
A shop called Żabka in Poland.
Yeah.
Iconic place.
Yeah, shout out. Not an ad, but trust us, it's not an ad. Nobody paid us yet. But yeah, it was such a surprise. And beforehand, I don't know, I just felt like I needed to go there. Yeah, and then when we met and I saw a familiar face from years, from ages ago.
I think it was you who spotted me. I think it was you. Yeah, because I didn't actually pay attention. But yeah, you was the one who just came and, hey!
And I said, Nastya, and you were like, Nastya. And I think it's been like 7 years in between.
Yeah, obviously we followed each other on Instagram, so we knew how we were as grown-ups. But some
people cannot recognize people on the streets. I know I have some friends who don't have photographic memory. I have a friend who simply asks me every single time whenever I recognize a person on the street or for an actor. So whenever I was telling that friend that I recognized an actor on the street or elsewhere in the cinema, she's like, well, how did you do that? Because she's like, how do you distinguish the person when you watch them on screen and when you see them in real life? Because it's two completely different people for me. And then I just saw you, I was like, oh my God. That's such a weird coincidence.
That was such a weird coincidence. But now, right now, a few years later after that incident, we are here. We traveled all across the UK. You now live in that area that we met.
Yeah.
Because I was living in that area and now you're living in the same flat. Life is so unpredictable.
That's what makes it interesting for sure. It was also interesting that you were just in the transition period of you moving from Poland to UK, and I was in a way moving from, well, I wasn't technically moving from UK to Warsaw, but yeah, I was still kind of transitioning.
We're in the process of moving to Warsaw, basically.
Yeah. So basically it was a vice versa, and it was also a very important point for us to meet.
Yeah. We supported each other in this, like, moving. Because I moved to the country where I lived, and I moved to the country where you lived. So we were just helping each other out to navigate here, this new place, even though we are separated by borders. But again, we were just staying together as a support.
Yeah, and I remember when I came here and I was trying to kind of figure out how to speak to people, how to find a flat or find a post office, speak to the post people. I remember we were just running around the city looking for a post office that had some
specific one where you had your parcel. Yeah. Delivered.
Yeah, and it was lost, and then we had to go and call them, and then we found it, and it was such a huge story. Yeah. And I remember when you also were trying to set your bank account in the UK, and you had you were looking for a flat, and you needed a bank account, so it was like a
loop. Yeah, it was a loop. It was a circus.
Yeah, and I remember we were talking about that, like which bank you should go to. It seems like it was just, I don't know, I mean, not yesterday, obviously, but it seems like it was not so long ago, but it was actually now, like next year, it's going to be 4 years ago. Can you imagine?
And then time we explored quite a few places here and we had so much fun. Even though we are separated by distance, we are still keeping that friendship.
Yeah. Let's move on to maybe different stories and friendships that we managed throughout the years and throughout several moves, four moves for me, four moves for you. It's all kind of mirroring experiences. And what was the biggest adjustment when the friendship shifted to two different countries for you?
So for me, I would say that there was no like a specific event of adjustment, because first I moved when I was still a teenager, I was 19 years old. So basically all of my like school friends or my first uni friends, they were still staying back there. But because we were still young and we were still students, because of the modern culture of constantly being on the phone, I didn't realize that physically I was far away from them until maybe the first time I went back home. And then I realized how much I actually missed from that friendships. For example, I wasn't able to meet up every weekend with them. So I obviously missed out on many events, many birthdays. So the first adjustment for me started just after this first going back home for like Christmas vacations, I think it was. The adjustment was to realize that I should try to keep the friendship that I have back home, but at the same time start to build the new relationships in the new country. That was my first major adjustment, I would say.
And when did that happen? Like what period? Like how many months?
So basically it was like 3 months after my first move. So I moved during autumn. I came back home in Christmas time. And that's when I realized that I don't really want to go back because I really miss home. and all home, France. And that was the point when I realized that I need to make adjustments to try to keep in touch with my friends, not only through messages, but also, for example, through video calls or voice notes, because it is also important not to forget how they look, how they change, or what is their voice, how does it sound. So that would be the greatest adjustment. So it happened like a couple of months after my move.
Okay. And was it hard for you to look for friends once you realized that you needed to look for new ones so that you don't miss out on things?
Again, I can't say that it was difficult because I moved as a student. So obviously you're surrounded by international students all over. So it is easy for us to communicate again because we have same language. We are coming from multicultural backgrounds, cultures. Problem started when I try to look for friends outside of the university circle, so in like natural environment, and that's where people are kind of less acceptable to foreigners.
In Poland?
It was back then, many years ago, but not kind of, it is less in comparison, I would say. So of course, Polish people would prefer to have friendship among Polish group, because again, it's easier for them. They don't need to adjust the language. They don't need to adjust in many other ways. I wouldn't say that it is difficult. No. It's not difficult. It's just slightly different. It was a more complex experience, I would say. Yeah. And did you realize that you need to change your ways of thinking about friendship, like make this kind of adjustments during your first move, let's say?
To the UK. Adjustments? No, because I moved when I was relatively young. I was 17. Yeah, again, same as you. I had most of my school friends, I mean, all of them, they stayed back home. So nobody moved at that moment. And I did miss them. It was like 2010, 2011. And at that point, there was no, like, messengers. I mean, they existed. One of my friends in the UK actually introduced me to WhatsApp. Thanks. Shout out to him. I didn't have any sources of communication. I was even emailing my friend back home, and I was emailing my grandma at that point. I was sending pictures through email. Those were those years when everything was changing so fast. Tech-wise, and when I moved, didn't have any sort of like messengers, like video or like phone calls. I was still making phone calls over my phone. I still had like some kind of like a roaming thing. Yeah, I had Skype. We used to call Skype. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was so crucial at that point. Because it was the only thing, the only way I could actually connect and message my my family, like instant messaging. Then they introduced WhatsApp, they introduced other sources of communication, and it became easier. Actually, my UK host mom that I lived in her house for the first year because I was underage, and she told me about Viber at that point, and she was using that for like video calls. No. It was not for video. Video calls were just Skype thing at that. Viber had audio calls, and that was revolutionary. I still remember to this day when she was like, "You can call your parents, and it will cost you nothing." Now it seems so bizarre that kind of thing could have been a reality, but yeah, that was it. And we didn't have any social media, we didn't have anything, and my phone was, I think I had a Nokia, basically. So communicating with my friends, I think we were trying through, like, we had those internet clubs. I had it in my college room. We had this internet room where you would go, and there were like several PCs, like very old school, yeah, very millennial, but but we had those several PCs where you would go and post stuff on Twitter and email your friends from those PCs. Speaking of like whether I had to adjust, I didn't know how to at that moment, because of the fact that we didn't have as much of global communication, everybody knows everything all the time. We didn't have that necessity that we needed to stay in touch all the time. And we didn't have those expectations, you know, I see you when I come back or something like that. Whenever I would come back for holidays, I would be, yeah, spending time with my friends. from back home, but obviously I could see how much I've changed and they've changed. But we still didn't fall drift apart, I would say. We just changed the ways we were thinking. After several years of me living abroad, I think social media helped a lot with keeping in touch, because you follow people like we did, like you follow people and you see what they're up to, but at the same time it's low maintenance, so to speak, so you don't have to message or check in all the time. Obviously, as much as we want to, we might not have time, we might not have energy to do so, and so on. So with social media, it's much easier, I think. Back then, it wasn't even on the table. You're just leaving, and then when you go back, you'll try to kind of make those adjustments when you're back, and then, yeah.
Do you think with this shift towards social media and constantly being in touch, does it change the expectations of people? I mean, if any of your like friendships or any kind of good relationship with someone just slowly declined because of inability to constantly be there, be present, did it ever happen to you?
Of course. It all depends on where you are in your life right now, like in your interests and what you want to do at this particular moment. Sometimes you just don't align, and that's okay. You used to, but you don't anymore. And it's a more complicated question of whether you just leave that be or you want to push and still try and work it out. I had different situations, and like with one of my best friends whom I've met in the UK, we were very close in the UK. We're like literal like best friends. Spoiler alert, we are still best friends, but we did have a falling out in between when I was doing masters and when I went to start my career. She was starting. At that moment, I think we kind of needed to drift apart so that we could go back and give it a... It wasn't even a fresh start. It was just picking it up back from where we left off, I would say. Like, literally, when we came back, it was not like 2 or 3 years. It was 7 years between. We still kept in touch in terms of like social media. She would follow me. Nobody unfollowed anybody because we're not children. We're adults, you know. We just go on and mind our own businesses. And then we just came back to each other's lives. And as if there was no...
This 7 years didn't happen.
Yeah. And that's the best thing, because I even have... Like, I have several friends like that. Like, we would not talk for years. Like, literally not talk. Like, we would like each other's pictures on Instagram. And then, you know, no... Like, hi, happy new year, happy birthday, or anything. And then all of a sudden, something brings us up, and we sit there, like, in a cafe and speak for 5 or 7 hours, and as if nothing's happened, and as if we're still 13, 17, whatever, which to me is the most important thing.
That's the magic. That's
this
magic.
Connection is still there. So, I don't know if I answered your question.
Yes, you definitely did. More than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and did it happen to you at all? Like, did you have some sort of falling out with some of your friends, and then you came back, or you decided not to speak to each other at all?
I would say that there are some instances when we restored our friendship in a way, but it has never been that strong as it used to be. In some cases, unfortunately, falling out of friendship means like falling out of friendship sometimes. And that is really sad. But I totally accept that sometimes some people are just very colorful events that come into our lives for a certain period of time. They just lighten up things, leave us with good memories, and then just we drift apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like a romantic way of thinking about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a smart way of thinking of that. And that's the realistic way. Because, I mean, you cannot push things, right? And if you don't align on things anymore, you don't have middle ground, you don't have those topics to discuss anymore, you can sense, this elephant in the room, so to speak. And the elephant keeps on growing. And the elephant is much bigger than you guys. As I said before, it doesn't mean that you won't get back together. It's not a romantic relationship where it's a different thing. I mean, people in a romantic relationship, people can break up and also get back together. But here it's not a romantic one. I think there's definitely a possibility for people to go back to where we where they were and rekindle in that way. I think like to revisit things, especially when they've known each other for like years since they were little. And I think those bonds are super special in a way that you've known a person from that age when nobody pretended anybody to be anybody. Like, we know that person.
True
from
self.
The very, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, because, like, for instance, the friend that I was talking about, we've known each other since we were 17. And it's still pretty young. Because whenever I look at the pictures, the videos, the way we behaved back then is like
kind of childish, yeah. Looking back, when we are almost 30 in, yeah.
Yeah.
We were teenagers. We were having fun. Yeah.
It's a very interesting dynamic in a way. Like, you've known a person since you were a child, like a literal child, like 6 years old. You didn't know how to tie your shoes. It's a completely different part of your life. And now you're seeing them, I don't know, having kids and.
That exactly was me and my best friend, because we met when she was 4 and I was 5. And now she's having the kid who's 7. And I'm like, he's even older than what we used to be when we started our friendship. Yeah, really hard for me.
How did you guys manage to keep your friendship afloat when...
I don't know. It's just a pure luck, because there was so many things that could have separated us. Like, at some point, we were going to the same school. That's where we met. And at some point, I changed schools. And then we went to different universities. And then I moved out. And then she moved. And there were so many instances when we could have drifted apart. But we never did. I don't know. It's just like soulmate, I guess. That's the only thing I could explain. Because otherwise, I don't know. Both of us, of course, wanted to engage in this friendship. We were doing our efforts in order to stay close together. But it was hard at sometimes. Yeah, it works.
Well, it's a good thing that you mentioned about two people wanting to work on this rather than just one. Because I think when it's just one person who wants to engage in this, just, you know, we all know where it ends.
He seems like needy. He's clingy. He wants attention, but the other one is like...
It's not worth it because the other person already made their mind up. Like, in their mind, and they know that they don't want to be with that person. They don't want to engage. And it's a tricky thing when to know when to pull away. Living in different countries and having this distance friendship, you don't know what's going on. You don't see each other. How do you think, what would be the best ways to know, like, when somebody's pulling away in a friendship or a long-distance friendship?
So long-distance friendship would be less visible, because if you're friends from the same city, you will understand that someone doesn't want to make an effort to see you, for example, weekly like you used to. But with distant friendship, it is much more harder to spot, because you must do twice or thrice more than you would have if that person was close to you. I would say if someone doesn't make something above, not just normal replying to messages, not just like answering the questions that they were given, but also be interested in you equally to your interest in them. Even with distance friendship, we always look forward to seeing this person, to meet at some point, either in the country you're living or they're living or some neutral place. So if the person doesn't want to make an effort to meet you, for example. So that, I would say, are signs of friendship, distant friendship that might fall apart. But do you think you have any other like signs or symptoms of this?
Yeah, you being a person from NH.
Yeah, symptoms always come together.
No, I actually agree, and I wouldn't add much to it, I think. And also you can sense it when something's going on, and they're not as responsive, and I wouldn't say that they don't make an effort to see you, because again, long distance, anything may be tough, and it may be tough to communicate and find this perfect slot in your calendar to actually meet up. But for instance, with one of my friends in London, like whenever I, not you, the other one. Yeah. So whenever I'm coming, I would let her know that I'm coming, and we try and pick a date. But like sometimes she might be work, you know, she might be off somewhere, or, you know, I'm not available on that particular day. It doesn't work out in terms of the dates and the timings, and that's all right. But when you see the person who's actually trying to make it, but you have just 3 or 4 days, and you have to do this and that and this, and see all of those people and travel there and blah blah blah, there's this limited time that you can actually meet. Let's meet up next time. So I wouldn't say that not meeting up or not engaging, well, maybe not engaging into trying to meet up is a sign. It's like, well, I don't give a shit. Yeah, mostly that. To me, I would say mostly that, like, because I'm very much into physical meetups, like face-to-face, sharing the experiences together. And you know that it's super important for me to be able to see people and talk in real life. Because even these calls, like any type of FaceTime, you name it, it's good. It's good that it's been invented, and we now can use that, and we can, you know, communicate being in completely different parts of the globe. But still, it doesn't work the magic as the same way.
Because we cannot share experience. For example, I cannot share a cup of tea with you. It's not possible.
Yeah, well, we technically can. Yeah, but you cannot share. And like, I cannot smell, like you cannot smell my Christmas scented candles now.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is amazing, by the way, which is so cool. It smells, I have an artificial Christmas tree because I just do. But there's no explanation to that. It's just, how it is. And I bought a...
But you still have the smell. So that's...
And I bought a Christmas, like a pine tree scented candle. And it's amazing. And you cannot smell it because, you know, you're...
Miles away.
Yeah, there is a song. So like all of those things aside, you cannot hug a person, or you cannot like touch a person when they're somewhere.
And sometimes a hug is so important. Like whenever you know that the person is not feeling great, you want to give him a hug, but you can't. That is heartbreaking.
Yes, I was just saying that like, sometimes you don't want to talk, but you want to sit and watch a TV series or just be silent and just sit and doom scroll. But you want to be in presence of that person, and that's what is, I guess, one of the hardest things. You just want this person to be here, but calling them and just sitting there, I mean, it could be an option. But
it is an option for us.
Those things, I guess, sometimes are the hardest. For instance, what we do with my friend that I mentioned, who lives in London, we're now rewatching this TV show, the one that I mentioned, The OC, simultaneously. So I thought it first, and I kept on telling everybody how good it is. I already watched it before, but I was rewatching it because I'm a nostalgia train. So I was like, okay, fine, I'm gonna rewatch all of those 2000 shows. I'm not gonna do all of them, but just this one. Anyway, a long story short, I messaged my friend saying like I was just basically talking about this episode, blah blah blah, have you seen that, have you seen this, because she watched it before, and she was like, okay, fine, I'm gonna rewatch it. And now she caught up with me, and we're watching them, like the episodes, simultaneously. Now she's even one episode ahead of me, even though she started after me.
That's just brilliant. That's a brilliant idea, really. Wow.
We're watching TV show together, and like each morning, she's recording me audios in the evening, and I'm responding to them in the morning, and I'm recording audios to her like, oh, do you believe, like, do you know what happened in this episode? Yeah, and we're just discussing that, but the show is like 4 seasons, so, and we're on almost through, we're almost done with season three, but it's fun. So I guess that could be an option for people like in long distance something. And what are your traditions and rituals that you've created to stay connected with your friends? Or you haven't created them, but you keep on coming up with something to keep engaged with your friends?
A lot of them actually evolved quite naturally. As kids, me and my best friend, we used to have a diary, like a notepad that we were sharing between each other. Every day we went to school and we gave each other this pad. She was writing something. Next morning she brought it back to school and I wrote something for her to read. And then she wrote something to me back. That was in school. But then, of course, when we separated our ways and as social media grew, we discovered an online electronic diary. There are a couple of apps in like App Store that has similar concept, but we also can share photos, we can share audios, we can share everything. It's not necessary to message them directly because, of course, they might be working, they might be doing their own things. But if you put something, for example, a photo in this diary and tell what you're thinking about, because mostly we're sharing our thoughts because it's a diary in the end of the day. So we're doing it at any point of the day. Any point of the night, because you don't get notifications. But at some point when you have time, you open this app and you're like discovering a whole new story about the person you know, which is kind of cool. I still have the notepad from when we were like 10 and she has another one. So we're still keeping these memories.
And what were you writing about when you were 10?
That was a lot of gossip about our other friends and about other teachers, obviously, what we were thinking about each one of them. And obviously, like about sometimes
all
about
the important
books.
Stuff.
Yeah. But it was just sharing thoughts. So probably actually that also helped us to keep our friendship alive because we were constantly sharing our thoughts, not what just happened, not the events, not description of something, but we were also like getting into each other's minds all the time and still do.
That's cool. Yeah. I liked diaries back in the day, but I never shared them with my friend, with my friends, because it was more of a like self therapy in a way before therapy was even a thing.
Yeah. That's our tools to survive.
Trying to figure out what's going on with us, yeah. And writing it down. Now you have this journaling thing being promoted everywhere.
We invented it before, a long time ago.
Yeah, trendsetters.
How do you feel about some events that you miss out, for example, again, because of the distance, like birthdays, promotions, tough moments, maybe marriages, maybe having kids of some of your friends? How do you feel about not being there for them at these times?
I mean, I don't really know how to respond because...
Maybe you have some things that will help you to make their day happier, better, like video call or sending a gift, sending flowers, balloons, I don't know. Accidentally come to this place and say, woo! Happy birthday, I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, because I've had long distance relationships since I... honestly can remember myself. I was saying that I moved for the first time when I was 17, and then I moved again, and then I moved again, and kind of in those movings, in those processes of me moving, my friends also moved or stayed elsewhere, and it kind of became a thing for me that my friends are all over the world at this point. Like, I mean, I do have friends here, but I also have a lot of my very long-term close friends in completely different places, as I mentioned, in London and other places. So to answer your question, trying to put it nicely, I think I never felt like I was missing out as much because it was the only thing that I actually knew, if that makes sense. But sometimes I thought to myself how good it is for people to have their friend groups. I even spoke to one of my colleagues a couple of months ago about this because he used to live in the UK. He's Polish and he used to live in the UK. And then he came back to his hometown and he named one particular reason that he didn't feel himself as himself there. And also he wanted to be surrounded by his group of people, his friends from childhood. He wants to be surrounded by his family. He wants to be able to just take a car and 10 minutes, he it would be at his friend's house. I'm going to lie if I say that I never thought of that, of a possibility of my friends being 10 minutes away. Some of them are, but I know for a fact that it is what it is, and that's what makes it interesting, that I can actually go and visit my friends in completely different parts of the world. We can go traveling together, and we can go, like, see completely different part of the world, and at the same time you can come here. That's what makes it interesting and different, I would say. I just take it as it is.
That is quite healthy of not, like, being worried about missing out on things. But of course it's understandable because we moved really young and we didn't know it differently.
I had several friends back home, and then they moved as well. So it's kind of a thing now. Since they moved, we can now go and meet elsewhere. I have a friend who has recently pitched me this idea of her going on trips by herself to meet new people, and she mentioned something like, so this way I will know more new people in different cities, in different countries in Europe or elsewhere, and this way I will have more places to crash. And I was like, well, if you put it that way, I guess. But for me, it was never the primary thing, you know. For me, it's more of a, like, going and seeing that person that I'm actually going, because whenever I'm going to that city or place, I'm going for that person specifically. Well, I mean, sending gifts by post or ordering flowers online, we could technically send gifts back then, like back in 2010s even. It was just a bit longer. It was taking much, much longer than now.
This year, actually, we might not be separated for at least my birthday, for sure, because I want to invite you for my birthday. I want to do, like, a big trip for my friends and family in some other countries because I'm turning 30 years. And I'd really want you to join me because I don't remember if we ever celebrated any of our birthdays together. So it would be a nice change in these 30 years to actually do it together.
Well, I can already say, and I can already RSVP. So, see, that works. I mean, living in different countries and having friendships, long-distance friendships. I mean, you can go and see each other in your own countries, or you can go and travel elsewhere. Let me know the details later.
The invitation will be sent by post with all the dates and location. Okay.
Like a GPS.
GPS, yeah. You can navigate with your compass.
Okay, fine. Yeah, we have 6 months until then.
A lot of time to prepare and learn how to use the compass.
Are we wrapping up today's episode, I guess?
Yeah. The only way to wrap it up is to give a small advice. And this advice would be to please, please reach out to someone you miss. Send that message, schedule that call, or simply let them know that they matter.
Yes, couldn't agree more.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye, until next time.
We'll do the talking.
So I guess that's a wrap for today's episode of our We'll Do the Talking podcast. And if you enjoyed the conversation, don't forget to subscribe, share, and let us know your thoughts in the comments. And we'd love to hear from you. Until next time. Cheers.
Thanks.